Hey everyone, welcome to the Context Machine, episode 662. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet, and I'm looking at our episode number, trying to find some sort of significance in it. And here's what I've come up with.
Yeah, okay.
If you take the digits of this week's episode number 662 and add them together, you get 14.
Yeah.
And so if you divide that into its base numbers, you get 7 and 2, which are both prime. That's a stretch, but that's all I've got.
Wow.
But I also know that we have a website, Brian, contextmachine.io.
Huh. You know what I know? I know that I could edit out you saying that to save you the embarrassment of having said it.
And you know what I know?
What?
You're too damn lazy to do it.
I am too dang mean to do that. And I am too lazy. I am too mean.
I am so nice. I intentionally chose lazy instead of mean, and then you just went and ruined it for yourself.
You know what else I know? You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us. Or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine. I do frequently, I do always post our new episodes on Threads.
Yeah, our episodes are supposed to be going on Mastodon, but the plugin that I set up for that broke, and I need to figure that out.
Good luck with that. Let's see. We have, this week, we have some fun news. I don't know. It seems like Google could be getting a little comeuppance.
Yeah, it's at least in the United States. I guess the government isn't all that happy with the way Google has been managing.
Is this their business? A DOJ lawsuit? I don't think it is.
It's US v. Google, isn't it? So is that
DOJ? Yeah, if it's US, yes. Huh. Well, it seems like we could have looked that up ahead of time. It seems like I could have looked it up.
Yeah, it's a DOJ antitrust trial. So
okay, all right. Yeah, this DOJ, the Biden DOJ, has been... We're going to talk about some of this later.
We're going to talk about pop music?
No, shush. We're going to talk about some of this later in the show, but this DOJ has been more interested in pursuing antitrust litigation in the U.S. than most recent prior DOJs.
Yeah, that's interesting. Although Google probably isn't using the word interesting right now.
Right. So basically, this was a bench trial, meaning that it was heard by the judge, not a jury.
Mm-hmm.
And basically Google has been found to be a monopolist.
And right. So in this case, the monopoly, the anti-competitive monopoly actions are Google getting the deals together that it's made with Apple and some other companies so that Google is the default or prime placed search engine in various products.
Right.
And Google's defense to that basically boils down to, you know, sure, we paid for stuff, but our product is actually the best, and that's why it's ended up where it is.
Right. Which, I mean, there is certainly a world where all those things are true, and all those things, including the fact that it's an illegal monopoly. Google can be the best, and Google can be illegally trying to maintain a monopoly. Mm-hmm. Both of those things are, it's possible for both of those things to be true at the same time. But anyway, this is especially interesting to Jeff and I, because Google's payments to Apple to be the default search engine in Safari, especially on iOS, mm-hmm. figures into this ruling. Now, there's going to be a second trial, an actual second trial to deal with remedies. So we don't know what's going to happen. We don't even know what the U.S. is going to ask or demand of Google for a remedy on this. We just know, and also Google could appeal. Google could win that appeal when partially on appeal. So this has got many years to before it's ever settled, but it could result in some kind of changes soon, despite the fact that it's going to take years to resolve.
And by some kind of changes, what I'm guessing you're alluding to, that includes how much money Google pays Apple every year for its premium position as the default search engine on iOS and other Apple products.
Yeah, and recent estimates are that Google was paying between $18 and $20 billion a year to be Apple's search daddy.
Apple's search daddy. I like that. Yeah. So the assumption out of that would be that Google would not be allowed to drop money, at least not on that scale, for the default position.
Yeah. And it means it that could be even Apple
could be out $18 billion a year. Won't kill the company, but I mean, it's still a significant amount of money.
Yeah. And that is almost all profit for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The Apple shouldn't have too many costs associated with maintaining, just simply continuing to have Google be the search default. But it could be that Apple would be required to ask people what they want as their default. That could happen. That could happen relatively soon.
Don't people already get that? When you do your initial device setup,
I don't think so.
It's been so long since I've had to do a device setup. Yeah,
that's what Google's paying for. Yet you can change your default search engine on your own, but what Google has paid for is simply being the default that can be changed away from.
Right.
All right. So an interesting aspect of that is, will Apple now be a lot more interested in rolling out its search engine? I'm not going to say develop a search engine, because I am convinced that for years, Apple has had a search engine in development. Mm-hmm. It would be insane for Apple not to have its own search engine in development. So in that Apple
has a lot of stuff in development that has not seen the light of day. And that makes sense, because it's a big company that needs to be exploring all of its options all the time.
All of the things all the time, right? It's, Apple's, turns out, is a pretty big deal. Who knew? But and the interesting thing about that question to me, this question of whether Apple is going to be more interested in developing its own search engine now, is the fact So at what one of the things that Apple has had to weigh is not just the costs of maintaining a search engine, the efforts to further develop its ad business, which, you know, if we look back to do you remember all the I'm forgetting what it's called. What was Apple's ad stuff that they were doing with Apple News called?
Oh, right.
You know,
that's funny.
Steve was like, yeah, basically all you ad people suck at doing ads, so we're gonna do ads for you. And then it turned out that no one really wanted Apple to do its ads.
Yeah, it turns out Apple sucked at ads just as much as everyone else.
Yeah, well, I feel like there was a lot of resistance happening from the industry, from the ad industry writ large. So it's I don't really think it's
understandable.
I don't think it's as much as Apple sucked as that no one wanted Apple to win, and Apple may have sucked, but they may not have sucked. But then that's kind of irrelevant. The point is that Apple was at one point going to be the new thing in advertising, and they've largely backed off of that. So if Apple is going to do a search engine, it either needs to be a loss leader where it's ad free, which would be amazeballs, or they need to be able to at least break even, preferably to turn a profit.
I have a hypothesis on what they could do for a search engine. Okay. And I agree with you. Of course, they've been working on their own kind of search engine in their secret labs for some time. Look at what we're seeing happen with other search engines currently, where they're relying more on AI to generate search results. What if that's the path that Apple ultimately goes down, where I mean, because a lot of people at this point are using ChatGPT as their search engine. So yeah. I'm not saying Apple would use ChatGPT, but they could use some system.
Apple Intelligence.
Yeah, Apple Intelligence. Now, here's the thing. Let's say Apple Intelligence ultimately includes a paid component to that. Well, if they're already doing the whole Apple Intelligence thing and they're using that as a web search engine, then you kind of combine them together. And the fact that it's a paid service otherwise helps supplement the cost of giving it away, if you will, as a search engine for the public to use.
I don't like Apple Intelligence being a paid service at all. I don't care for that future.
I wouldn't be surprised if there is at some point a paid component, and I could see that just being part of the whole thing when you buy your whole iCloud subscription, where you're getting all of the other things that go along with that. You know, you buy your bundle.
Yeah, but so basically you're saying that you feel like Apple's going to offer Apple Intelligence Pro and Apple Intelligence, you know, for everyone else. I don't like that.
I'm not saying it's going to happen right away, but I can see that happening. I'm with you. I don't like it, but I can see that happening.
Fair enough. So regardless, the point that I was originally making is that Apple has always had to weigh the costs and benefits of doing its own search engine. And part of that cost formula has up until now included billions of dollars from Google every year not to do a thing, not to do its own search engine.
Mm-hmm.
If that's going to change, that could well change Apple's calculus on whether or not to do its own search engine.
It could. And I think it could also change Google's calculus on how they position their products on Apple's platforms. This Verge article that you found about the whole case talks about Microsoft, Satya Nadella, saying that that by letting Google pay for that prime spot as a search engine, it incentivizes Google to not pull people out of Apple's Safari. And if they don't have that incentive anymore, then they could change their products so that they more aggressively push you into Google search engine.
Right. And the thing about that is that I feel like Apple has just as much leverage over Google there. I feel like Apple could very successfully pull a lot of its customers out of the Google ecosystem. You know, it could, from Gmail to Google Search to to Google. Well, not Google Docs. I don't feel like Apple's ever going to really compete with Google Docs on the things that make Google Docs appealing to some people.
I think Apple would have a hard time competing to pull from the other aspects of what Google does as well. It's
Google Search. I've long felt that an Apple search engine would be very appealing.
I think for people like you and me, it would be very appealing. I think for the average person, they see Google as the way you search. It's
that can change, man.
You Google the internet to find information, just like people say they Photoshop an image, even when they're not using Photoshop.
Man. No, man, if Apple can present search results in a way that I feel like Apple can do, it would essentially overnight be the new search thing.
Maybe I'm not totally on board with Apple being able to take over search in that way. I'm not as optimistic as you are. I mean, there is so much momentum behind using Google as your search engine, even though we are now at the point where Google is ridiculously frustrating to use because it no longer shows you the results that you actually want. It shows you the results they want you to see. It's still, I think it will be very difficult for Apple to take that momentum away from Google. And granted, yes, people tend to use whatever the default search engine is on their devices and they don't think about it. But I think still, you know, let's say you're using Gmail and you're using the Gmail app and it pops and you open it up on your phone to look at your messages and it brings up a dialogue and it says, hey, do you want to switch to Google as the default because it's going to work better with all of your Google stuff? I think there are a significant number of users that would be like, oh, yeah, of course. And they would switch their default engine just like that back to Google.
I categorically disagree. I categorically think that Apple users would absolutely gravitate to an Apple search engine if it's presented up to Apple's usual standards. I think that is obvious. You mean
like Siri? You mean like HomeKit?
Huh.
You mean I could go on. I mean, okay, I'm being the total jerk about Apple on this one, which
That's fine, because I was being a total jerk about you.
Oh, yeah. So this is karma. I hope you're happy now. No, but Apple, they have a reputation for giving us quality products. And at the same time, people complain about the low quality of many of the products they give us. I mean, in fact, people are getting checks right now from a class action lawsuit where Apple made a subpar keyboard for their laptops. And even though they haven't made that keyboard for years, people still talk about the crappy Apple keyboards.
Okay. And with the exception of the original maps, which has long been fixed, I feel like that there aren't many instances where people complain about Apple's software interfaces.
And and that was a legit mess. However, when we look at Google Maps versus Apple Maps, the number of people that I encounter that use iPhones with Google Maps instead of Apple Maps is surprisingly high. And what I have found is that in many cases they're just like, Apple Maps sucks. Well, what sucks about it? It just sucks. I use Google Maps. Then there's another segment of people that I found where they say, yeah, you can't ever find the businesses you want in Apple Maps. And that's a legit issue. And that's on Apple because they have not made it easy for people to add their businesses to Apple Maps. So everyone knows you put your business in Google Maps. So what I see people doing, a subset of people, they go and search for the place that they need to get to in Google Maps and then put the address into Apple Maps, because Apple Maps for a lot of areas does offer superior turn-by-turn direction. It's a mess with all these stupid services
and essentially the argument that Jeff and I are having it has probably been part of Apple's internal deliberations on whether or not to continue to taking billions of dollars in free money from Google or spending billions of dollars in developing its own search engine.
I certainly hope that this argument that you and I are having is happening just like you said inside Apple. It would really, really concern me if it's all of these meetings where it's a bunch of yes people, because people in these companies, it doesn't matter if it's Apple, Google, Microsoft, Adobe, it doesn't matter. People in these companies need to be looking very critically at their products so that they can improve them in ways that increase the company's bottom line, but also enhance the user experience and make people want to stay with their products.
So that's happening. This will result in some changes because I imagine that this judge's ruling will be held up on appeal. And I don't think Google's getting out of it, which means that Apple's no longer going to be getting its money. And it feels like that will have repercussions on how Apple does things by definition.
Yes, I agree. I believe that Apple has been working on business model ideas and strategies for a long time that don't rely on Google giving them $18, $20 billion a year. So, yes, this will be a hit to Apple's profits if Google doesn't get to keep throwing all that money at them.
Yep.
But at the same time, this is not the sort of thing that is going to rock Apple's core.
No. It'll it'll change some things, but it's not going to rock Apple's core by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, when I was writing about this at the Mac Observer many years ago, I envisioned Apple making a free search engine. And because that would be my fantasy, that Apple has a free search engine. But I don't think today that Apple would do that. I mean, I don't, maybe Apple would never have done it, but I don't think there's a chance in heck that Apple would do its own search engine and have it be a loss leader.
Yeah, herein lies the problem, because the paid search engines that have tried to be a thing over time.
No, ad free. I mean, excuse me, ads.
Ads.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I feel like Apple would. And I do continue to trust Apple to not screw us on its ad business. But you know, there's another thing, by the way. Google Analytics. Google Analytics are very important to most businesses doing any kind of analysis on their website traffic.
Yeah, Google Analytics is an industry standard. It is an industry requirement at this point.
Right. And I don't see Apple being willing to make those kinds of investments to be able to offer something. Let's just, for the sake of argument, call it Apple Analytics. To compete. So I don't know.
If Apple wants to go head to head with Google, then they need to provide an analytics tool. And it needs to be on par with what Google's already offering.
Yeah. All right. I don't think we're going to untie this Gordian knot today, maybe next week. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about Kindle Unlimited.
Huh. What's that? I don't think you've ever mentioned that before.
Yeah, I have. Kindle Unlimited is Google's
Kindle. You're gonna leave that in too because you're mean.
Yes, I am. Kindle Unlimited is Amazon's book subscription service, and basically you pay $10 a month and you can download and read whatever you want that is part of the Kindle Unlimited world, that is. And but you don't own it. You don't own it. You don't. If you stop paying your Kindle Unlimited fee, you lose access to those books. Just like with Apple Music or Spotify or Amazon Prime's
any of the content subscription services.
Right.
Stop paying, you lose the content.
Right. And my biggest issue with Kindle Unlimited has been the model itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that you're paying $10 a month. They're taking 60 or 70% of that. They're giving that to authors divided by the number of pages that people read compared to the total number of pages read.
Yeah. So, all right, here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Because we have talked about Kindle Unlimited before and the issues you have with the business model. Mm-hmm. So why are we bringing it up now?
Well, so again, my on average, I think an author will get like $1.80 for a typical book that is typically read in a typical month on Kindle Unlimited. And that to me is that's an offensively low amount of money. But
mm-hmm.
I have been, my feelings about Kindle Unlimited have evolved. And that evolution is due to Kobo Plus.
Kobo, another ebook subscription service.
Right. Kobo is a third-party ebook platform that is now owned by Rakuten. Rakuten bought it, and Rakuten is a ginormous, are they a Japanese company or a Korean company?
I don't know.
Huh, if only there was some kind of way. Is Rakuten a Japanese company? Yes, they're a Japanese company. So anyway, Rakuten is a multi-billion dollar conglomerate. They're definitely a huge company. They bought Kobo, and they're trying to make it a thing. Kobo has its own readers that are very compelling, and including they do e-ink readers where you can draw your own notes, for instance. I don't think that's anything you can do on an Amazon e-ink.
That is not true.
And this is color.
Oh yeah, I don't think Kindle's is the Kindle one is color.
Right. So anyway, the point is that Kobo also has Kobo Plus. It's even less money, which means that authors are going to make less money. And that does kind of make me tense because it's $7.99 a month instead of $9.99 a month. And but the thing is that Kobo Plus does not require you to be exclusive to the Kobo platform to have your books on it. Unlike Kindle Unlimited, which requires you to be exclusive to the Kindle platform for your ebooks to have those ebooks be part of Kindle Unlimited. And that's when my feelings started evolving on this.
Okay, so just to make sure I'm following, on the Kobo Plus, you are potentially getting less per book when someone is reading your content than you would on Amazon Kindle.
I don't know yet. I've had my books on, I've had both of my books, my Accidental Intelligence novel and my short story, King Liam, First of His Name. I've had them both on Kobo. I've had them both on Kobo Plus since June. And Kobo Plus does not report stats daily. They're actually like delayed by a month and a half, whereas Kindle reports their stuff daily. And in addition to that, they're measured differently. So Kobo Plus measures minutes read, and Amazon measures pages read, and that's like pages essentially as a set number of words because people were trying to game the system on Kindle Unlimited. So anyway, the point is, I haven't seen any figures yet because also you have to reach a threshold before you even see anything on Kobo Plus. And
it's kind of a black hole until enough stuff has happened.
It's a black hole for me. Yes. Any author who, has an extensive backlist is probably going to, if they're promoting being on Kobo Plus, they'll probably not be in this black hole. Anyway, that's not the point.
Okay.
The point is that my problem with Kindle Unlimited today is entirely in its exclusivity clause, which I think is anti-competitive as heck. And I'm also understanding that mainstream publishers are not required to have their books be exclusive to Kindle, to be on Kindle Unlimited. So that...
Yeah, see, this is where it becomes a big problem for me. Well, I mean, it's already a problem, but now it's like waving red flags, big problem, because the whole thing about it's exclusive unless you're a big name player, and then it's not. It does feel like they're trying to artificially lock publishers into their platform.
Indie authors,
yes.
Right. And I mean, so what I have seen, especially since moving to Threads, and the writer community is very, very strong on Threads. And
I'm so glad that you found a online social writers community like that.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
For sure. And what I have found is that there are tons of indie authors who only think about being on Kindle because of Kindle Unlimited and its exclusivity clause. So they don't think about being on Apple Books. They don't think about being on Kobo. They don't think about being on Nook. They certainly don't think about selling anything direct on their own sites. And it's very interesting because this mindset is super obvious in their posts, and it baffles me why the DOJ has not sued Amazon over this exclusivity clause. It is baffling to me why that has not been the case.
I'm not surprised.
Especially with Amazon going, DOJ going after Apple again for an antitrust violation. As well as the backdrop of the DOJ going after Apple for iBooks in the first place, all while allowing Amazon to be this massive, you know, monopolist. And I don't like this business with KU's exclusivity clause. And I'm starting to see some people other than me agitating for that exclusivity clause to be done away with. So I'm kind of hoping that happens.
I would like to see that go away. Yeah, it feels anti-competitive. It just feels wrong.
Yeah.
But you know how I said I'm not surprised that the DOJ isn't going after them for this, and it goes back to what you mentioned, the whole iBooks case, and that was when our government gave Amazon carte blanche to do whatever they wanted in the ebook space.
Right.
So, of course, they're doing this, and I think they do not need to feel concerned that, our government is going to do anything to stop that.
So, you know, I've seen one of my fellow indie authors I've sold less than half of my books through Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I want to be clear, when I say sold, I'm also talking about distribution of my free short story, King Liam, First of His Name. So I'm counting those as sales, even though they're not really sales, but I've got to get people interested in them. I've got to get them to download it.
Well, and from a statistics standpoint, the data standpoint, sure, these are sales.
Yeah. Thank you. And I've sold less than half of my books through Amazon, which, while that makes Amazon a very important outlet for me, it means that I'm still selling more than half my books elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's super important to me. I have a fellow author who at my urging, and sorry about this, sir, At my urging, went wide. He tried an experiment for a couple of months. He went wide, and going wide means putting your books on other services other than Amazon. And he didn't have any initial success, and he's going back to Amazon. And I based on his results, I don't blame him. But again, I look at my results and I see that, you know, more than half of my books have been sold outside Amazon, and I'm thrilled with that, and I'm happy with that, and I'm hoping that I'm getting some Kobo Kobo Plus reads out of that too. I just don't know yet. So, you know, whatever that's worth.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that can go into why it wasn't a successful experiment. Well, it was successful in the sense that he received information that he wanted and then made a decision, but that he didn't get the sales by going wide.
That's not the issue either. The issue is that he had to make the decision to pull his books from the other sites and be exclusive to Amazon again. And that it's this exclusivity clause that made him decide that. That exclusivity clause is anti-competitive. It is so anti-competitive. And I feel like Amazon has enough of the market that it should not have an anti-competitive exclusivity clause.
Yep, I'm with you on that.
Despite the fact that I'm selling more than half my books elsewhere, there are many people who that's not the case. Where that's not the case, it's there are many people who sell the majority of their books through Amazon, even if they are wide.
And well, you know, if you know that your target market is primarily there, or you have a strong following that's primarily there, even though it's crappy that they're forcing this exclusivity, I mean, it makes sense why those indie authors would be on Kindle Unlimited. But yeah, I'm with you. Amazon shouldn't be forcing this exclusivity on authors like they are.
Yeah, and so here's another interesting thing. If your book is pirated and is on a pirate site, that can get you banned from Kindle.
Oh, ouch.
In particular, it can get you banned because of Kindle Unlimited, because they require exclusivity. So you sign up, you put your book on Kindle Unlimited, some douchebag pirates you, sticks you up on some, you know, site that is built to harvest credit cards and email credentials, and then that gets you banned from Kindle altogether. And that's devastating for an independent author.
That's actually super scary.
They just don't need to have this exclusivity clause. I would add both of my books to Kindle and the audiobook version of King Liam. I would add all that to Kindle Unlimited if they would get rid of the exclusivity clause.
Here's the ugly truth about books ending up on pirate sites, which in this case just absolutely sucks for authors who are on Kindle Unlimited. Every book is pirated, period. And it is probably pirated, like if it's going through a major publisher, before it ever hits store shelves, it's already pirated and it's already on the pirate sites before it ever gets in a store.
Yeah.
So yeah, everything that you see on Kindle Unlimited, if you go and look for pirate sites, please don't. But if you were to do it, you would be able to find everything. It's all pirated all the time. It's horrible.
I just came up with a great title for our show, by the way.
Oh, excellent. I'm all excited for it.
For the first half of the show. Let's call it Apple's Google Problem.
I like that.
It's clever, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And Brian's Kindle problem. No, let's not say that. All right. Anyway, that's my ongoing evolution of my ongoing thoughts of Kindle Unlimited. And this is why you won't find my books on Kindle Unlimited. It's because they require exclusivity, and I'm certainly not going to be exclusive to Kindle. I wouldn't, you know, even if I had sold 90% of my books on Kindle and 10% of my books somewhere else, I wouldn't be exclusive to Kindle for out of principle.
I can respect that.
So, yeah, because I'm stubborn that way. Anyway, yay stuff. Let's see. Let me do this. Let's see right there. Hey, that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, the bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. And Jeff, that's all for this week.
Yeah. Hey, as always, this is loads of fun, and I'm glad that I can be your low-cost exclusive therapist.
Yes. Free. Because you're
that's
worth
a super low cost.
You're worth every penny.
I am.
Yeah.
My bills in the mail.
Definitely.